So that brings us to case number two with guest Aaron/Jennifer. And do we have a mic for you? Okay, so Jennifer, why don't you take me through your profile here?
I'm Jennifer. I graduated from Smith College about 4 years ago. I got a 3.75 while I was there. I've currently, for the past 4 years, been working for a major consumer products company, and I've actually received one promotion while I've been there. I got a 740 on the GMAT. You can see the breakdown. I did a bit better on the verbal than I did on the quant. I'm looking at Kellogg, Wharton, and Texas, and I'm from Texas, and I'm actually maybe interested in going back there. And I want to really switch from – I'm interested in high-tech marketing as opposed to traditional consumer packaged goods marketing.
Okay, great. Well, I guess, looking at your profile like an admissions committee would, your GMAT score of a 740 is obviously phenomenal. But there's a bit of an imbalance there between your quant and your verbal score, and I would probably not make that big a deal of it, and it really isn't the end of the world. But you do have again a wonderful GPA of 3.75, but it wasn't in English, and I was wondering if maybe you took the occasional calculus class or economics class and earned an A in it or something like that. Is there a story there that we can help.
Yeah, I'm not really a quant person. I majored in literature for a reason, and there's not a ton of quantitative classes, really, if any, on my resume at all.
So that percentile overall, you're not a quant person?
Well, I mean, it's not my focus. I mean, actually, kind of by the grace of God, did I get that 75 percentile? It was somewhat of a miracle. And I actually think, retaking, I mean, I know you didn't say to retake the GMAT with a 740,
right,
but I really don't think I could do better than that on the quantitative. So definitely maybe just worse. So.
Okay. Well, I'd probably leave it alone and no classes undergrad. I guess.
Yeah, I took like physics for athletes or something like that.
Right. Okay.
No offense to any athletes.
Okay. I mean, I'm just, the school's going to want to know that you have certain quantitative competencies. I guess, marketing is becoming a more and more quantitatively oriented field. If this is what I understand from my own candidates, with the internet giving you so much data, is your work quantitative at major consumer products firm X?
Well, I guess, it's interesting that you say that, because actually a lot of what we do is, looking at numbers, running ROI analyses on our ads, trying to figure out what the best, media is for us in terms of where we're getting the best bang for our dollar, in terms of where we're spending. So a lot of it, even just looking at weekly sales statistics, it's not complicated spreadsheets like, an investment banker, but certainly you need to be proficient in quantitative abilities to really succeed at my company.
Right. So, and you have been succeeding because you've got a promotion.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I guess now that you say it, one of the credentials for me to be given that promotion certainly was to be able to show proficiency with respect to understanding our business trends and analyzing the numbers. So.
Right. So, I mean, that would play into proving your quantitative side. If you're like, I think the fact that you're not working on spreadsheets all day doesn't matter. The fact that you're interpreting data and that others recognize that you've got these analytical abilities, that you're capable of interpreting it in an effective way and it promoted you for that, is probably, it's probably quite helpful to you and probably a story that you can tell. I mean, I think, are there any specifics maybe that any anecdotes that you can offer in terms of your quantitative skills at all?
Well, it's such a big company, so I guess this didn't seem like maybe that big of a deal at the time, but actually we were kind of looking at the effectiveness of some of our ads and the timing of them, and I kind of noticed certain trends within the numbers, and we altered the timing of when we delivered some ads, and we actually, I guess in Q2 saved about $250,000,
right,
which is really kind of a rounding error, but...
Right. Well, the dollar value doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that you know, I know it's a multi-billion-dollar firm, and $250,000 seems insignificant, but it's the spirit of what you did. And again, you know, we talked before about the optional essay. This might be the beginning. You know, you've got a promotion because of your analytical skills. You've got this win here in this $250,000 savings. This might be a story that you can tell to the admissions committee about having quantitative competencies. The other thing, of course, is it's still early in the year. It might be time. I don't know what your schedule is like. It might be time to take a summer class or two in accounting, finance, economics, maybe even statistics or calculus, so that you can prove your quantitative abilities. Is that something you think you might have time for? Because if it is, I would certainly recommend. I mean, don't take that class if you don't have time and you're going to get a B minus or a C. But if it's something you feel like you can commit yourself to over the summer, maybe the hours are slow, you can, and you earn an A in that. That will really help bolster your argument as well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I would have time for two classes, but I definitely think I could. That's a really good idea. I probably could, you know, find at least one class, and I think I could handle it. So,
right.
I might look into that. I will look into that.
Right. Okay. I think that'd be very helpful to you. And if you get those grades, that'll create a very strong optional essay. So, anything else here? I want to pick your brain here.
I'm interested just to kind of know what you think about my target schools. I mean, you know, I want to go to a school that's really high ranked. I also have a marketing background, so schools like Kellogg and Wharton just come to mind. You know, I mentioned I'm from Texas, and high-tech marketing, you know, Dell really stands out to me as a potential place that may be ideal for me to work one day. Going back home would be really interesting, but I really want to go to a high-ranked school, and, you know, Kellogg and Wharton have such marketing backgrounds, you know, just based on my background, it seems like I could be a fit there. I don't know what you think about that. I mean, I've also, you know, I realize that general management might be something, an area where I could probably get, you know, a broader set of skills as opposed to just marketing.
Right, right. I guess there are a few things there. You know, with respect to rankings, rankings come and go. And, you know, right now, Yale, I believe, is ranked, I could be wrong here, but I think it's ranked number 6 on U.S. News and isn't ranked in the top 20 in Business Week, and it kind of shows you how absurd rankings are. And you know, if you look at Chicago, was ranked number 10 one year, and then it was ranked number 2 the next year, and then number 1 the year after that a couple of years ago. And the idea that not much changed at the school during those 2 years to suddenly jump 8 spots. It takes so long to change an institution. So much of the institution isn't moving. The alumni network is the same. The professors are broadly the same. So I think basing things on rankings is a recipe for disappointments. In many ways, if you really want to base your decisions on rankings, you should be guessing as to where the rankings are going, not where they are. You know, and the other thing is, you know, you're talking about high-tech marketing in Texas, and you know, if you want to do that, I mean, it's, you know, I'm not saying you should completely eschew Kellogg and Wharton, which are excellent schools, but, you know, here's a school that has 240 people where Dell, Microsoft, and Apple all recruit. And they recruit, I think, if my memory serves me correctly, about 15% of the class, I think. And in good years, when Dell is really chugging a lot more. And so, you know, if you have a demographic interest like that, you may want to give it some thought. I mean, I think Texas should certainly stay on your list of schools. You know, especially, I think it's a school where you could be quite safe. Your GMAT score is way above their average. You've got a promotion at a major marketing firm. Your grades are great. You know, this is the beginning of a good story there. In terms of the other schools, I guess maybe we can dig in a little bit here. So you're really passionate about the marketing, but you also said something about general management and.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in some ways I kind of want to round out, you know, my skill set a bit, but I guess those schools just came to mind because I have been in marketing and they're known for their marketing programs. You know,
is the idea to study marketing at those schools? Is that?
Well, I definitely would look to get a broader based, you know, general management education as well. And I guess the other thing I didn't mention is, you know, I went to Smith. It's pretty small. I really enjoyed the small atmosphere. So I don't know, maybe Wharton's actually too big for me.
Right. Well, if you enjoyed small schools, Wharton is the second biggest school at over 800 students. So it might not be, you know, might not be the most intimate environment for you. And if you're, you know, you're looking for general management programs. I mean, both Kellogg and Wharton can provide you with a strong general management program, But there are a variety of small general management programs that dot the East Coast. You know, Darden, if you're interested in the case method, Tuck, you know, Duke, those are all on the smaller side of the schools. You know, Cornell, those are all small schools that, that might be a better emotional fit for you, if you can say with some determination that you're not interested in big schools. Kellogg is definitely, you know, at 480 students or so, is definitely you know, and it's in Evanston, which maybe isn't which gives you a little bit more of an intimate setting than other big city schools like an NYU. So, you know, that might be a decent choice for you, but I would probably question that choice of Wharton, to be honest.
Okay. Well, I'll give that some thought. You know, the other thing I had thought about and I wanted to ask you, so I know a lot of people talk now about having international experience or, you know, speaking a second language, and I don't really have any of that. You know, I've never lived abroad, I've never worked abroad, and so I just wonder how big of an issue that is in my application.
Well, there are very, very few things where schools have a tick box or a cutoff. You know, people always ask, what's the GMAT cutoff for your school whenever I'm around admissions officers? And the schools say there is no cutoff. And it's the same thing. I think a lot of people worry they don't have international experience, and that's going to immediately prevent them from going to business school. It's something that it's a great bonus to have, especially if you have something interesting. But just living abroad doesn't necessarily mean that you have an international experience. You know, there are lots of people who go abroad for school and spend their entire time with their American friends and barely experience the other culture. So it, you know, the quality of your experience is what's really important. The other thing I would say is these days, you know, cliche of globalization, you can be. Embracing the world from your own backyard. Manhattan GMAT, well, recently having opened offices in Toronto and Montreal, you know, before that was still an international company because they have clients from around the world and even instructors around the world who are working here, and they're doing online lessons around the world, etc. So, you know, at your firm, have you engaged any internationals at all on any projects? Are you working with the Tokyo office on X or the Sao Paulo office on Y?
Well, actually, I did work on the launch of a new yogurt drink, and it was being launched here in the States as well as in Europe. And it was interesting because the teams worked together, but we kind of customized our marketing campaigns based on the target audience. And so here in the US, it was really flashy. We had celebrities. And then actually in Europe, that target customer tended to just be a much more low-key campaign that they use. So, but we collaborated a lot and then kind of tailored our program. So I don't know, that might be an interesting...
Yeah, I mean, it sounds to me like that's certainly international. You didn't have to be physically in Europe to make that an international experience. You clearly had some takeaways like the ones you just offered about the differences in cultures, and you worked with those people to launch a product. There's a product launch. So I think that's great, and I don't think you really have anything to worry about. And that might be one of your best stories. It might not be. It might be a bullet point on your resume. But I don't think anyone's gonna say, you know, this woman does not have international experience. Okay. Anything else that I can help you with?
I think that's it.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think you know, maybe we could adjust your target schools a little bit. But you certainly have the GMAT score and the undergrad to at least undergrad grades to have a good foundation for the schools that we talked about. You know, Texas and Kellogg. And I think that if you can explain your quant scores and do well in this one class you're taking, I think that that's something where you can prove your quantitative abilities. You know, you've got a promotion at work. You've got some interesting international experience, even despite the fact that you may not see it yourself. And you know, it seems like you're quite passionate about where you want to go. So I think that the other schools that I mentioned, you know, the smaller schools that I mentioned along the ways that have very strong general management backgrounds could also be very, very good targets for you. And Kellogg certainly is unreasonable. So I think... you know, best of luck. I think you're on the right track. You just need to sort of get your stories and you know your emotions in line and you know, write about that. You should be fine.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay, so let's bring back our third case study here. Oh, let's not. Let's look at the takeaways here. So low quant GMAT score is not necessarily a killer. I think a lot of people really freak out if they don't have scores that are above the 80th percentile. And you know, but you have to be prepared to try to reveal the competencies in other areas. And, of course, using the optional essay to explain your competencies. And the optional essay, for those of you who don't know, is not an opportunity for you to just paste in another interesting essay from another school, but is really an opportunity for you to offer explanation of a potential problem in your application. And so this would be a really great example. And take additional classes. If you have a non-quantitative background, if her 3.75 had been in math or statistics or whatever, you know, management, it probably wouldn't have been a big deal. I probably wouldn't have told her to take an additional class. But if you're an English literature major or a poli-sci major like me, it might be something you should think about, and there still certainly is time for you to do that over the next couple of months. School choice is personal, and I really try to push people to ignore the rankings and try and think about fit, and it seemed like Jennifer was an awful fit for Wharton, and your mother or your friends might be pushing you to apply there, but if you're going to be unhappy there, there's really no point in applying and in going there. And again, I mean, you know, don't pander to what the school wants. Be sincere. If she's someone who's looking to enter into the marketing, to go back to marketing, that's great, but she doesn't need to apply as a marketing candidate. Those other aspects, the general management aspects of her candidacy, are a perfectly suitable way for her to launch her candidacy. And we kind of talked about this in detail, but international experience is not based on traveling to foreign countries, and it's not a tick box. You don't need to have formal international experience. It's nice, it helps, but you can find other ways to showcase it, and it's just not a deal breaker.